Amen. Amen. Praise God. You can go ahead and be seated. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. David, musicians, singers, thank you so much. What a time we have had together. What a glorious time. What a presence there is in this place right now. And it's a wonderful presence to preach from. So, Lord, we come before you in that name which is above every name, the matchless name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you for this word that you've given to me for this congregation today. This is a word in season. And Lord, we take it as such. My heart's desire is whatever you want to say, that's what we want said. Whatever you want to do, that's what we want done. And I thank you, Lord, for a cooperation between heaven and earth. And the cooperation between this church in heaven, this ministry in heaven, this Bible school in heaven is getting stronger and stronger all the time so that we can experience days of heaven on earth. The very atmosphere of heaven is permeating this place right now. And we receive the word of the Lord for this year, the year of abundant harvest. The year of abundant harvest. And Father, we press into that word and we learn more about it and how to operate in it. We honor you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. As I was putting this message together, spending much time in prayer yesterday over it, I had a first draft and a second draft. And then right before he left the house this morning, the Lord spoke to me and said, there's a third draft. There's some things specifically that I want to say. So I ran back up to my room. I started typing. And the Lord gave me the third draft of this message. And I'm so grateful to him for this. I believe it is a word in season. Isaiah 1, and starting in verse 16. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. What a powerful word this is, especially in harvest season. This one phrase is what the Lord spoke to me this morning in the third draft. He said, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. The NIV translation says you'll eat the best of the land. And this scripture came to me as Pastor Greg was preaching this morning in Job 36:11. If they obey and serve him, they will spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. I'm talking to you this morning about the connection between obedience and harvest. There is a connection between the two. And if you and I are wanting to reap the abundant harvest that we're looking for this year, and that have been declared by the word of the Lord, then there's a place of willingness and obedience to him that you and I will need to walk in. A major key to the abundant harvest is our willingness and our obedience to the Lord. If you be willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. I was having to make a decision about something a couple of years ago, and wasn't quite sure what direction I wanted to go and the direction that it was headed. I really didn't want to go that direction. Didn't want to do this. But then I heard a man preaching, and all I heard in the message that so struck my heart was this scripture that he quoted. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. I got willing and obedient real quick. Real quick. And when I did that, then I experienced the good of the land. I experienced the best of the land. The Lord wants us to be willing, not only willing, but obedient to do. So there's a connection there. This major abundant harvest, this magnificent abundant harvest is connected to our obedience to the Lord and fulfilling His plan and His will. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. And these are scriptures that I have been studying and looking at ever since this word came out. But the Lord had me early this morning backing up and looking at what was right before those scriptures. Sometimes it's very important that when you're looking at a scripture of great promise, you be sure to read a couple of scriptures before it and make sure you understand what it's going to take to that great promise that you're reading. And I received such a download from heaven about this, but it's so simple. It's so simple to be obedient to His will. Say, I am obedient. I am willing. I am obedient to do whatever He tells me to do. And you know, not only whatever He tells us to do in terms of the witness of the Spirit, but in the Word of God. What does the Word say? That's what we do. That's what we obey. And it really begins in a very simple place. Our obedience to the Lord begins by doing what He's already said in the Word of God. And as we practice being obedient, willing and obedient, I am willing and obedient to do whatever He tells me to do in this Word. You have to make that decision. That has to be a quality decision. That the Word of God does not fit our lifestyle, but our lifestyle is to be transformed to the Word of God. To be obedient to that. And you practice being obedient to that, and then you'll be able to be obedient to what the inner witness is telling you. Because the Word of God is God Himself speaking to you, declaring things to you, and adjusting things in you. Just like it said a moment ago here in this scripture, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes, cease to do evil. Those are all verses that are leading up to, if you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. Willing and obedient for what? To wash up, get clean, put away the evil before His eyes, cease to do evil, learn to do well. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they are as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient to do what? To do what I just said? To do what I just said to you? Then you will eat the good of the land. But then it says, if you rebel and refuse and rebel, you'll be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Obedience. Obedience and harvest are connected. So Deuteronomy 30, the scripture that I'd been quoting and studying about really was in verse 9. And let me read to you what it says in verse 9 in the New Living Translation. First of all, the Lord your God will make you successful in everything you do. He will give you many children and numerous livestock. He will cause your fields to produce abundant harvest. There's our abundant harvest scripture right there. For the Lord will again delight in being good to you as He was to your ancestors. Well, I was reading that this morning in verse 9 here in my King James. The Lord will make you plenteous. The Amplified Bible says, abundantly prosperous in every work of your hand, in the fruit of your body, the fruit of your cattle, the fruit of your land, for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over you for good as He rejoiced over your fathers. So He's talking about here being abundantly prosperous in everything, and here in the NIV, producing abundant harvest. But then He had me look back here to verse 8. If you shall return and obey the voice of the Lord and do all His commandments, which I command thee this day, the Lord thy God will make you plenteous in every work of your hands. I'm seeing something here. I'm seeing a connection here. We're looking for the abundant harvest. We're looking for the bumper crops. We're looking for all of these things. But there's something that's so important for you and I to see in this if we are going to experience the miracle grow in our lives. And that is, as it says here, if you return and obey the voice of the Lord and do all His commandments, which I command this day. primarily you and I walking in the love of God with each other, walking in forgiveness towards each other, and being obedient to whatever He tells us to do, first in His Word, then by the Spirit. And then the result of that is, in verse 9, the Lord thy God will make you plenteous in every work of your hand. The New Living Translation, the Lord your God will make you successful in everything that you do. It comes from obedience. It comes from obeying Him. He will give you many children and numerous livestock. He will cause your fields to produce abundant harvest, for the Lord again will again delight in being good to you as He was to your ancestors. So you see the connection there. Obedience leads to the best of the land. Look at Leviticus chapter 26. Leviticus chapter 26. This is another one. Another one that I had been quoting, yet I left out a part. I left out a very important part. Leviticus chapter 26. These are powerful scriptures. Most powerful scriptures. You know, in Leviticus 26, in verse 4, I'll give you rain in your due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. It says down here in verse 10, you shall eat the old store and bring forth the old because of the new. In the NIV translation, it says you will still be eating last year's harvest when you'll have to move it out and make room for more. Praise God for that. That is a wonderful thing. But don't forget verse 3. If you walk in my statutes, keep my commandments, and do them, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. I like what the Living Bible says of the scripture. Verse 3, if you obey my commandments, I will give you regular rains, and the land will yield bumper crops, and the trees will be loaded with fruit long after the normal time, and grapes shall still be ripening when the sowing time comes again. That comes from our obedience to Him. That comes from us saying, yes, sir. Yes, sir, I will do this. I will do that. I will straighten that out. I will take care of that. I am listening to you all the time for the continual adjustments that you are making. I've shared with you before about this, but I train about 3 days a week here in the gym, sometimes four if I can get a fourth day in. And I'm training with one of the guys from the security department. He's in charge of training all of the security department. And he and I have been training together for 6 years. 6 years he's been training me. And he's a coach. And I can tell the difference. And I so connect this with going to church and being a pastor. I can so see the difference when sometimes I'll have to go in. He can't come in that day, so he'll give me a list. And my workouts just don't seem to be as strong when coach is there, when he's there, because he adjusts every rep that I do. Every rep. If I'm doing 12 of something, he talks all the way through it. He's adjusting this. He's adjusting that. Stand up straight, do this, do that, do the other. And I'm endeavoring to be willing and obedient to the coach and to the commands that he's making. And they're all for my good. Every bit of it is all for my good. And when I do that alone, when I go in there alone, I know that I'm missing some things. I know that there's some things I could be doing better. I know, though, I'm excited because tomorrow coach is coming in. He'll straighten that up. He'll take care of that for me. That is what the Heavenly Father does for us. He is coach, and He is continually speaking to us about what we are to adjust, the things that we should change, the way that we should think, the way that we should be, in order for us to be able to walk in the greatest and the highest dimension possible of the harvest of God. I so enjoyed Pastor Greg teaching this morning and talking about the difference between Taco Bueno and true Mexican food. There is a difference. There is a higher level of Mexican food. There is. And some of these places that you drive by that aren't a chain restaurant across the country, they're just these little places there. They make the best, I mean, the most authentic, the most authentic. And there's a higher level of Mexican food. I keep thinking about that. It's getting near lunch. A higher level of Mexican food. Well, there's a higher level of abundant harvest. There's a higher level. You remember when the children of Israel went into the promised land and they brought that cluster of grapes. And I didn't bring my grape with me. It's about that big. Well, those grapes were huge. They were gigantic. There was a higher level of reaping, sowing and reaping, harvesting. There's a higher dimension of that that the Lord is wanting us to partake of, and it's going to take absolute obedience to His will, absolute willingness to do whatever He asks us to do. Because whatever gets in the way, whatever is standing in the way, whether it's offense or aggravation or anger at somebody, strife with somebody, we've got to get rid of every bit of that. Scripture tells that to us. It tells us how can you be in strife and reap that magnificent harvest? It'll hinder you. It'll hold you back. So when the Bible tells us to stay out of strife, we have to do everything necessary to identify it and stay out of it. When it tells us to forgive, we have to do that. That has to be done. How do you do that, Pastor George? By faith, like you do anything else? It's by faith. So by faith, we're making the adjustments necessary for us to reap this abundant harvest, to where it says here, if you obey my commandments, if you obey all my commandments, I will be able to give you regular rains and the land will yield bumper crops. And the trees will be loaded with fruit long after the normal time. We're talking about supernatural harvest. How many of you want to partake of supernatural harvests in your lives? We all are. We all are. And you know, over the last couple of weeks, I've shown you some pictures. I've shown you pictures of what a supernatural harvest looks like. How huge these crops can get. Well, that's what he's talking about here. He's talking about the hundredfold return. He's talking about the maximum potential of whatever it is that you have sown, that you are able to reap that. And in order to do that, we must be obedient to the Lord. We must. You're in Leviticus chapter 26. Turn right back to Leviticus chapter 25. Leviticus 25. And I was quoting this scripture, I think last week, maybe the week before, not last week, Brother Jerry was here, but one of the things that it talks about in this scripture, it says in verse 21, I will then, always look at the word, look for the word then and read what's behind it. Just back up a little bit and read what's behind the then. Then usually says something has just been said that will lead to this. So I've been reading it. Then I will command my blessing upon you in the sixth year, and it shall bring forth fruit for 3 years. In this ESV translation that I read, what does it say? Then the land will yield large crops, and you will eat your fill and live securely in it. But you might ask, what will we eat during the seventh year when we're not allowed to plant our harvest that year or harvest that year? Be assured that I'll send my blessing for you in the sixth year, so the land will produce a crop large enough for 3 years. 3 years. Think about this. Think about reaping in your life. Thinking about reaping a crop that lasts for 3 years. In other words, you have so much that you could rest for 3 years. You could rest for 3 years. Well, that's what he's talking about here. And I'm not talking about us all quitting our jobs. I'm not talking about that. About quitting our assignments. Excuse me. I meant to correct that. We all, for those of you who are here for the first time, I don't use the word jobs. I use the word assignments. God has given us assignments to fulfill. Places he wants us to be. So I'm reading this scripture. And I started with verse 21. And so this morning, the Lord said, back up, back up. Maybe that's what should be the title of this sermon. Back up, back up. What's the sound when a truck backs up? That should go off every time you open your Bible. Beep, beep, back up. Read what it says. Read what it says. So I went back and I started reading. I started verse 20, 19. I went back as far as 18. I'm sure I could go way back. But verse 18, and it says, wherefore you shall do my statutes. I should have read before that to find out what the wherefore was. Anyway, keep my judgments and do them, and you shall dwell in the land in safety. And the land shall yield her fruit, and you shall eat your fill and dwell therein in safety. And if you shall say, what shall we eat in the seventh year? Behold, we shall not sow, gather in our increase. Then I will command my blessing upon you in the sixth year, and it shall bring forth fruit for 3 years. The ESV translation says this: if you want to live securely in the land, follow my decrees and obey my regulations. Now, you know, it's interesting how when you say things like that, there's not a whole lot of running around the room. Obey my regulations. Woo! Wow! If you follow my decrees and obey my regulations, then the land will yield large crops and you will eat your fill and live securely in it. But you might ask, what will we eat during the seventh year, since we're not allowed to plant or harvest crops that year? Be assured that I will send my blessing. I will send my blessing, the blessing of the Lord. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over it. We do not want to be blessing blockers. We don't want to bless our own, block our own blessing. We don't want to stop it. And the Lord is saying, if you follow my decrees and obey my regulations, in other words, like Coach does for me in training and listening to him on every rep, if you do this, you'll get the results that we're looking for. If you don't, you won't. It won't produce. And one of the things that my trainer has taught me is the posture, how important that is. Posture and grip. We don't think about that. People go in there. Sometimes they'll go in there. I don't see that much around here, but I've gone into gyms before and you see guys in there with dumbbells, heavy dumbbells, and they're pulling them up like that and they're swinging like this. That doesn't happen in my class. No, because you can hurt yourself doing that. And it's not going to do you any good to do it that way. So what do? I obey the regulations. When Coach tells me to do it a certain way, I don't look at him and say, no, no, I don't do that. I don't do it. He's 28, 29 years old. I think he's not in here today, but he's around that age. And I'm a lot older than he is. And he respects me as pastor and CEO. But I'll tell you, when it comes into the gym, he's the boss. He's the one in charge. I am under his submission, and I am following the rules, the regulations, and I am being obedient to what he's saying to me. Well, it's the same thing with the word. If we follow the rules and the regulations of what he's, well, Pastor George, we don't follow the rules and regulations. We're free. Uh-uh. No, you're not free. You are in bondage. You're not free. And we have to come to a place where we do willingly and joyfully obey what the Lord tells us to do. And it might be, and I'm just using this as an example, an extreme example, but let's say one night you want to go to the bar and get drunk. I'm not talking to anybody in here, right? But you just have that urge. I'm so grateful. I do not have that urge. That urge does not come upon me. But let's say that was an urge, and you're driving down to the bar. And the Lord's talking to you. Do not go to the bar. Don't go to the bar. Now, some people go to the bar if the Lord specifically says, go witness to somebody, you go witness to somebody. But to go down there and have a drink? No, no. Why? Because it could mean a lot of trouble for you. You've got to obey the voice of the Lord. Be obedient to what He's telling you and be obedient to what the Word is speaking to you. To not go down there, 2 o'clock in the morning. Are you kidding me? There's a lot of stuff that goes on in bars at 2 o'clock in the morning. Not good. Not good. So I'm not putting you under bondage if I'm telling you don't go to the bar and get drunk at 2 o'clock in the morning. That's not bondage. That's freedom. That's freedom. That is where you can live a life, a wonderful life. Well, that's what we have to do. And it says, if you want to live securely in the land, follow my decrees, obey my regulations, and I'll give you large crops. And that's what he was telling me that this morning. I hadn't put the two together until this morning, getting ready, half hour before we're leaving. A half hour before we're leaving, the Lord says, excuse me, I want to change your message this morning. Okay. All right. That's where I was, up in my office. I heard Pastor Terry downstairs. Usually I'm outside with the car running. This morning I was not. I heard my wife, George, are you ready? In just a minute, the Lord's talking to me. Well, we have to be obedient in order to experience that. Turn to Genesis chapter 26. Genesis chapter 26. Genesis 26. There is a divine connection between the blessing of the harvest and the obedience that we have to the Father. Genesis 26, and as you're turning there, let me read something to you that just came into my heart. Talking about the blessing of the Lord. You know, when the blessing of the Lord is on you, everything is going right. When the blessing of the Lord is on you, there is multiplication taking place. Fruitful, being Garden of Eden-like fruitful. I started to do a little study last night, didn't get too far into it, but just imagining and having a picture of what the Garden of Eden looked like. What kind of produce was coming out of that garden? What was it like? And the fact that we are supposed to be carrying on the Garden of Eden here, that's what is supposed to be happening. The Garden of Eden. Well, just a moment ago, I thought about this scripture. You know, we talk about the blessing of Abraham. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law so that we can walk in the blessing of Abraham. And we go back to chapter Deuteronomy 28 and we read the first 15 verses or so and see what the blessing of Abraham. But don't skip verse 1. It shall come to pass if. Now, it has been written that if, where doubt and unbelief is a badge of doubt and unbelief, if, the word if, but then the word if is kind of like the word then. If, it's setting a precedent here, a qualification, a qualifier. It, and it shall come to pass if you shall hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God and observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set you on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on you and they will overtake you. Obey. Obey. Obey his word. Obey his voice. And looking at this scripture in Genesis 26, we'll quickly go through this. In Genesis 26, in verse 1, there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the day of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, in Gerar. And the Lord appeared to him and said, because Isaac was leaving town. He was going to leave town. There was a famine. And he did what his natural mind was telling him to do. Oh, look, there's a famine. There's a drought. Cannot sow anything because you'll not be able to reap anything. The economic conditions are bad. They stink here. I'm getting out of town. I'm moving. And the Lord appeared to him. Go not down to Egypt. Don't go to Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell you of. In other words, I need you here. I need you here. I need you here to change this. I need you here and I want you to look to me as your source. He said in verse 3, sojourn in the land, and I will be with you. I will bless you, for unto you and unto your seed. Sojourn in this land, Gerar. Stay there. Don't move. Don't move. Because if he were to move, it would have been hard for the Lord to sojourn with him in that land. He's supposed to be in this land. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you. I will bless you. For unto you and unto your seed, I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swore unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto the seed all these countries. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Verse 5, because that Abraham obeyed my voice, obeyed, obey, obey. I hear it echoing on the inside of me. Obey me. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice. And I'm looking down here in my notes on my Bible that I wrote some time ago. Obedience opens the door to the blessing. And kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. And so in verse 6, the time of decision came. Isaac dwelt in Gerar. He stayed. He stayed. The Lord was saying to him, I'm your source. You stay. I know that in any congregation, there are a number of people at any one time making decisions. Do I stay? Do I go? Do I change assignments? Do I go to this assignment? Do I leave? Do I go here? Do I go there? What do I do? You have to obey him. This is a military organization. And we don't go AWOL. We go where we are assigned. Ultimately, we go where God has called us to go to church. If you didn't hear Pastor Greg this morning, you need to go back and listen to him. Phenomenal description and message about the revival capital of the world, a refuge city. It really articulated what we've been dancing around and talking about for many years. It really brought it down to that focal point. But you have to be where God has called you. You have to obey in the same way that Isaac obeyed. And when he obeyed, verses 12, 13, and 14, that was the result of it right there. It says in verse 12, then Isaac sowed in that famine-ridden, drought land that nobody else was producing fruit, and he received in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great, for he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and a great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. The Message translation of that verse 13, the man got richer and richer by the day until he was very wealthy. He became, I've heard Brother Copeland say that, he was the richest man on the planet. He was. Where did that come from? What happened? He was obedient to be in the right place at the right time, in the right situation with the right God. The blesser himself. And he produced a phenomenal crop. The only crop in the land. If you can just get a picture of what this looks like and how there's just drought ridden. It's like, I've heard this before about traveling down the Nile, and along the Nile is lush and beautiful, but you get too far and it's sand. That's the difference. That's the difference. No matter what the economy looks like, we are not subject to the economy. We are subject to the kingdom of God's system and operation of finance. We don't just survive, we thrive. We thrive no matter what is happening, no matter what is going on. And as long as we are in obedience to the Lord and doing what he's calling us to do, we will stay in that place. Isaac obeyed. He was in obedience. See, we read oftentimes, Isaac sowed in that land and received 100-fold. Back up. Beep, beep,
Beep, beep.
Back up, back up. Read what it says. How did he get there? He got there by obeying the voice of the Lord. One last scripture. Turn to Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17. I've been meditating on this scripture for about 3 weeks now. And this is one of those scriptures that I had read, but I had let go for a while. And when I say let go, I hadn't passed that way in a while. And the Lord led me back to it. And let's see what this says. It says in verse 5, Jeremiah 17, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed is the man that trusts in man and makes flesh his arm, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a heath," and that word heath there means a stunted shrub, "destitute, hopeless, producing no fruit. He shall be like a stunted shrub in the desert, and he won't be able to see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited." Now, this is a picture of here, if you will, it's a picture of Genesis 26. It's a picture of Gerar. It's a picture of the Philistines. It's a picture of the difference between a man who is obedient to the Lord and giving himself fully to God and is going to follow his ways, as opposed to people who trust in man and on the arm of flesh and who have nothing to do with God, nothing to do with Jesus as their Lord. So here we are, and if you will, let's say it's in the same location. But you run into a situation here where you have same conditions, different results. Same conditions, different results. That's what happened to Isaac. Same conditions. He was in that drought. He was in the middle of the drought. Same conditions, but he had different results. Difference result. It's the same thing as there was light in the land of Goshen and darkness in the land of Egypt. There's a wall of redemption, a wall of separation. So if you look at verse 7, "Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is." Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. This is so important. This is so important. We obey the Lord, but then hear this qualifier. "Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. For," there's another word. That's a result. For. For is a result of verse 7. "He shall be as a tree planted by the waters that spreads out her roots by the river and shall not see when the heat comes, but her leaf shall be green." That word green, flourish, flourishing. "And shall not be anxious or worried or careful in the year of drought, and neither shall cease from yielding fruit." Neither shall cease from yielding fruit. In the New Living Translation, it says their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. It's continuous. It's not seasonal. It's continuous. It's continuous. And the key to this was in verse 7, "Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is."